Right, no problem.
One second, on the chair back there, oh, I've got some here. I got them. This is a session that I took a play with the title of conference, which is public health out of order, but I call it session order, not public health. Because of the peculiar dynamics of what's going on in the US-Mexico border, how those dynamics are contributing to major public health problems, as well as law, legal problems, you've heard of the drug violence, so on and so forth. And what I wanted to do, we have a team here. My name is Peter Hartsock. I'm of the National Institute on Drug Abuse. My colleague, Annette Thomas, Dr. Annette Thomas, is right here. We have a team that's made up of researchers from University of California, San Diego. Dr. Stephanie Strathy will be discussing. She's the big shot at UCSD. And we have also a colleague from the University of Texas, El Paso, which of course writes dead center on the border too. There's a lot of stuff going wrong. Dr. Aurelia Losa. Dr. Victoria Ojeda, Dr. Richard Robert DeGarfine.
Dice.
Ben DeGarfine and Dice. They're dealing with TB. They all deal with TB. And Dr. Howard Campbell, welcome aboard from UTEP. And Josiah, or I forget how to call you, Joe or Josiah.
Either one.
Hyman, okay. So, yeah, and just go over this. This is the busiest land border crossing in the world. Something people don't know. And there's all these dynamics of what we're dealing with here. It's something the American public doesn't know about, but it, which the world should know about. You're going to hear about it from the experts. So Dr. Thompson.
I just wanted to quickly say how excited and pleased I am with such an impressive panel. I'll be really quick because I know everybody has 12 minutes and blah, 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 blah. But I am the chief of epidemiology at NIDA. Peter works in my branch. And this is a very important aspect of what we do. I must say Steph and Michelle have been leaders in helping us understand this border dynamic. And actually, I think in time to come, we will try to do much more and to collaborate with this esteemed group of scientists here before us who will present on something that in reality is very important to NIDA. Our institute director, Dr. Nora Volkoff, is herself from Mexico and has a lot of interest in what goes on at the US-Mexico borders. And so stay tuned. And I just wanted to say I'm really pleased with the caliber of this panel. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to Peter, who has worked so hard to put this all together. And I'll stop there. Peter?
It's not me that's worked hard. You turn the M upside down and V to get a W. It's spelled we. It's been the teamwork all the way. The first talk will be by our colleagues, Drs. Hyman and Campbell, that dealing with bordering on the future and dealing. These are folks who are experts on borders, and there aren't very many like them in the world. And borders form their own worlds, like a twilight zone, and things happen that don't happen anywhere else. But I'd like to introduce them now, and if we can feel free for you folks to begin. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to thank you all for being here, and my name is Joe Hyman. I'm going to do the presentation, but it's important to acknowledge my colleague Howard Campbell, and especially he's going to have a very exciting and important new book coming out this coming year from University of Texas Press on drug trafficking at the U.S.-Mexico border. And I think he's also got several articles with him that you can take a look at about drug trafficking at the border. What we're going to try to do here is talk about contexts for thinking about border issues. And if you don't have a copy of the presentation, you might want to see if you can get a copy, because there's no way in 12 minutes that I'm going to be able to cover all of the points. And so instead, we're just going to kind of suggest some of the things that you could think about in the way of a bit of a toolkit. That is, these are points that you might want to consider in specific contexts as useful and informative. And it's often the case that the issues that we face at the border are contradictory, or there are several different dimensions to it. And so instead of telling you this is what we know about this border or borders in general, we're going to give you different things to think about. Okay, we have no financial interests in the border, so not with the commerce there anyway. But I think it's very important, the reason for looking at borders, and this is not just theory but also practice, is that they challenge our sort of notion of that there's one society, one economy, one culture, one nation, what is something that has been called the territorial trap. We have to consider that there are the practical, political, administrative features of international borders, that borders are places for complex cultural encounters, such as between the United States and Mexico. That there is a huge region of settlement on the both sides in the two countries, in the United States and Mexico and in other international border regions, which we call border lands. And finally, that a number of these border insights, such as this question of no longer thinking about just this territorial trap, one nation, one society, one culture, really is relevant to the heartlands of the United States and Mexico as they become more and more interactive. We'd like to emphasize a complex view of what culture is, and I would say also a more social and political view of culture. Culture is not just a kind of folkloric patterns, attitudes, and so forth, but is enmeshed in webs of social relations and political power. Therefore, and this has been established, I think, well by in the work of Leo Chavez, it's important not to over-culturalize health issues. It's not that communicative and symbolic aspects of culture are irrelevant to health issues, but if you simply reduce them to what people believe, you're not actually using the strongest concept of culture. It's important to remember that one of the major features of the international border is it's the place where two different national institutions meet each other. And the example there, I think, is very telling. People in the United States and in Mexico have very different relationships to legal pharmaceuticals that come from the way pharmaceuticals are regulated in the two countries. But specifically at the border, those two different national cultures of pharmaceutical access and pharmaceutical use meet each other. And people, of course, cross back and forth in order to access those things. So while we see borders as interactive and interpenetrated, we're not proposing a perspective that simply erases the distinctions between the two nations, which matter very much. Because of this, nationally and non-nationally shaped processes occur. Some things fit very well in a perspective in which you distinguish between the United States and Mexico, and other things don't fit very well at all in drawing out that distinction. And it's not useful to take only either a national perspective or a non-national perspective. Now, international boundaries may either facilitate cultural exchange or they may reinforce cultural boundaries. Both things happen. The border is a representation of both interaction and also of polarization. We give a little example there at the bottom. It's also important to not simply think of linear acculturation from Mexico toward the United States. There are flows in both directions, and it certainly also doesn't necessarily take place in a simple linear fashion. For one thing, both sides are dynamic. The United States is changing and Mexico is changing. And in particular, we find that it's important for people to recognize that the baseline in Mexico is enormously changed from Mexico is now over 70% urban country, for example. And there are standard pharmacies in every little town in Mexico. So it's a very different kind of country than it was even 20 or 30 years ago. The result is that instead of looking at things as a static, folkloric Mexico, then acculturation into a purely modern United States, we need to try to understand the cross-cutting patterns and flows that go back and forth across the border. Here on this slide, and again, some people have come in late, you might want to get a copy of our PowerPoint slides. We try to point out some of the ways that you can understand border crossing, and I think it's useful, for example, to understand some people really do live their lives in a very deep way with feet in both countries, whereas others are, if they cross the border at all, are simply using the other side in a very instrumental way as a place to buy drugs, as a place to earn income, and so forth. And so there's many different kinds of border crossing. The U.S.-Mexico border is one of the most important drug trafficking corridors in the world. And I think at this point, actually, I would like to sort of point out that we find it useful to focus not only on drug use at the border, which of course is tremendously important, but its coexistence with the trafficking, which is highly emphasized at the border, where there's a change in the way the laws are enforced, and therefore there's the whole complex of bulking, debulking, shipping, transshipping, stashing, moving again, and so forth. So this is enormous trafficking kind of complex at the border. Trafficking system is worthy of a great deal of attention because it's really having an impact at every point in the what in the social sciences we call a commodity chain. And so, of course, you know, methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin, whatever, each of these things is a commodity and they have a change, and it has an impact at each point along the commodity chain. And one of the places we're seeing that is that there's currently a civil war raging inside of Mexico, a quite violent civil war, which has to be considered to be a public health issue. I think we'll talk about that in another slide. As I pointed out before, the borderlands are key staging areas and concentration points for drug traffickers and for law enforcement efforts. One of the things about the border is it's not just that the traffickers are the people who are using force, but there's an enormous massing of violent force on all sides, of finance, of organizational power on all sides of this struggle, the U.S. state, the Mexican state, the drug organizations, and that local borderlanders, various different relationships to drugs, you live out their lives within this clash of titans. So we're going to offer a few preliminary observations here. This is not, I think Campbell really has looked at the trafficking in a systematic way, but there are some things here that I think still need to be investigated. The Mexican side of the border is extremely violent, and I think we have to, of course, consider violence surrounding drugs as a public health concern, as well as the public health effects of the drug use itself. There are high levels of heroin and cocaine supplies inside of Mexico caused by the fact that a large quantity of these drugs get sort of piled up at the border, and they're relatively difficult to get into the U.S. Of course, they do get into the U.S., but while they're piled up at the border, it's also easy and cheap for them to be sold inside of Mexico. And so there seems to be deepening and more increasingly institutionalized drug retailing of these drugs in the country of Mexico. And there are many different roles that people have in this complex drug trade at the border. Jobs and incomes, consumption patterns, interpersonal networks, ways of life. People are related to the drug trade in the region in very complex ways, and you have to pay attention to exactly how people are woven into the fabric of this sort of action. So I don't have any real time to launch onto the next section here, but if you have questions or comments, you wonder about something, please feel free to discuss it with us.